Senator Dale Fowler is on the other end of the line this morning. He's in Springfield this morning and already been at work. Senator, first off, morning, and second, congratulations on your week a win ago today.
Well, good morning to you, Tom, and thank you so very much. There's some snow on the ground up here. I'm not sure how it is down there. I rolled into Springfield about noon yesterday and had meetings yesterday afternoon, and woke up to some nice cover of snow this morning. Not too bad, but it's in the teens, and it's cold up here, and getting ready to go into veto today. So, you know, glad to be back in the state capitol.
We're calling it a dusting of snow is what we're calling it. You
right.
can see it on the grass, right. but the roads were too warm for it to stick there. So the fall veto session. Before we get to that, the election, the takeaway. All right, now, and the reason why I'm going to ask you this, Senator, I want to preface this, that we're the state offices, well, they're Democrat, the supermajority, which we're going to talk more about. But downstate election, where we saw Natalie Phelps Finney lose to a Republican, and we saw Republicans win on a lot of different levels in Southern Illinois. I mean, what's your takeaway when it comes to the state of politics when you see Southern Illinois becoming more and more a Republican area, and then these heavy population centers being heavily Democrat? There's clearly a schism between the two. I mean, what's your takeaway?
Yes, you know, Tom, you know, 10, 12 years ago, if someone would have predicted this, that would have been a hard prediction to make, you know. But yes, the tide has turned in Southern Illinois. I think people, you know, they see, some of the people see how hard we're working. You know, I was a little, you know, little surprised by some of the races, quite honestly, especially on the county levels, that it turned as red as it did, Tom. But you know, I think you know, as far as myself is concerned, I couldn't be prouder of the campaign that we ran, and the honest and ethical and you know, non-attack zone that we were in. And I think a lot of people noticed that, and I think a lot of people fed off that. I heard so much about the fact of, you know, they appreciated the kind of professional campaign we ran. And I've got to say, you know, I can't thank my staff enough and everyone that worked so hard on the campaign and all the people that voted for me. And, you know, it's hard not to go negative sometime, Tom. And I had people saying, well, aren't you going to go negative on your opponent? He's going negative on you. And I said, no, I just can't do that. And maybe it cost me some votes, but because I didn't, for those people that don't truly know Dale Fowler, but, you know, that's okay, because I woke up on Wednesday morning and feeling good about the campaign that we ran.
Well, it's interesting because you talked about the Republican gains, and if we roll back the clock to the point where you're the Harrisburg mayor and your knowledge of Saline County to begin with, and you look at some races there that have been Democrat, state's attorney. You know, I talked to some of the people that I met from Saline County at last weekend's SIU football game, and even they were like, wow, you know, that's always been Democrat. Look at the Republicans are in there now.
Absolutely. And, you know, Tom, there was a time where my father was on the Saline County board, you know, 13-member Saline County board, and he was the lone Republican. And that was not uncommon to only have one Republican on the Saline County board. And then now it's been controlled the last few cycles, you know. So things have really turned. I'm really proud of the people that have gotten in there. I think they're good, honest, hardworking, God-fearing people that are going to make the right decisions for Saline County and for Southern Illinois.
It seems from some of the rhetoric that I'm already hearing when it comes to Springfield and the fall veto session, that the Democrats know they're in control and they will remain in control with a supermajority, and it looks like they're going to go after, you know, there are some 70-plus items included here as a possible over a veto override.
Exactly, and we're going to be going into the Senate Republicans, we're going to be going into caucus here in about an hour and a half, and we're going to be going over each and every one of these veto bills. You know, we'll see how things roll, Tom, and with a change of governorship, we're not sure how that will be affected moving forward. But, you know, I'll know more after today, of course. And, you know, it's, you know, a lot of decisions to be made here on these vetoes and some of these mandatory vetoes, I should say, that the governor's proposed. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I'm just going to continue as I always have to vote my district, Tom, and continue to work hard on developing the relationships, especially with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, which I think you've kind of seen some of that, you know, yourself, and we've talked about that in the past, especially with some of the ag bills I've been able to pass that maybe weren't that pertinent to the suburb districts, but are extremely important to Southern Illinois. And to be able to go to my Democrat colleagues and say, "Hey, I need your help for my district," and they look at me and say, "Senator, we believe in you. Let's get it done." And you know, that's really where I've focused a lot of my first 2 years, Tom, is really developing these relationships. And as an example, the Hardin County Work Camp, I think we're going to be able to move that legislation, and I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for the support of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle.
When we talk about the fall veto session, some of the items that are up, the teacher's minimum wage, governor vetoed it. Tobacco, moving, selling tobacco products, 21. There's a limit on claims against the state around $100,000 in relationship to the Quincy VA home. They want to move that, I think, to $1 or $2 million. I'm not sure, Dale. I'd have to ask you. But these are just some of the hot potatoes that are going to come in front of you. And that's just three out of 70.
Exactly. But those are three important ones, Tom, and especially the teachers. You know, I've been a strong advocate for the teachers. And I actually co-sponsored that bill and Andy Menard bill that I co-sponsored. Because, you know, we've talked a little bit in the past about the teacher shortage we have in the state of Illinois. The July 2018 numbers were 2,801 teacher vacancies in the state of Illinois. And that number is going to continue to skyrocket if we don't create opportunity for our teachers. We have 30% less students, high school students, going into college to take preparatory classes to become educators. And another scary, really concerning piece of data, Tom, is that for those that do become educators, between the years 1 and 5, 31% leave the teaching field to seek other opportunity, other career opportunity. So it's very critical that we have good qualified teachers. And also, not only do we want to recruit good qualified teachers, but we want to retain the good qualified teachers that we have. So I'm really concerned about this, and it's something that I'm going to be a strong advocate for, Tom.
You know, there are local issues that are at hand here as well. Now, I'm a little dusty on exactly what it is that I saw this as a legislative forum or reception for Walker's Bluff. I saw this yesterday that they were already, the members of the Walker's Bluff Coalition, already in Springfield. And they also reported via social media that the Pritzker Transition Team has reached out to them. Walker's Bluff in Springfield today. What's going on there? What was this event involving legislators?
Yes, I was actually there last night, Tom. It was a reception just to talk about Walker's Bluff. Cindy Bunch and her crew was there. We had a great reception last night, and it was just more of a social gathering just to talk about and kind of pump everyone up. And she's extremely excited. They're going to be in the Capitol this morning. I know they're going to be over on the House side this morning when the House goes into session. As you all know, we passed the legislation, Senate Bill 7. In 2017 in the Senate, but it has not reached the House yet for vote. So they're doing everything they can to get this to come to vote. And from what I understand from the Pritzker administration and his transition team and Speaker Madigan, you know, I think it's real promising that I believe this is going to come to vote, hopefully in the spring session, Tom. So I kudos to Cindy Bunch and her team and the resort crew for being here and continue to lobby to create jobs for Southern Illinois. And she's excited. She has not given up. I know it's been extremely trying for her, you know, to wait, and especially when she's really willing to make this investment in Southern Illinois and create all these jobs and labor jobs. There's going to be some great union jobs, and just, you know, it's really encouraging. And we have other initiatives as well going on in Southern Illinois. So. And then once she leaves the House, they're going to come over to the Senate side, and I hope to be able to, you know, if we're in session, I'm going to announce them and introduce them to the Senate as well on the Senate floor.
I got a text message from State Representative Severin earlier this morning saying, "Good morning. Here on my way back to Springfield in session this morning, just want to let you know if Cindy Bunch and her group will be in the gallery this morning. I'll be introducing them on the House floor, recognizing them there as they advocate for a walk." I'm not sure what that was. I think he was using voice text. "Or a foot expansion, the casino and hotel conference area and indoor water park," just to give it an update. So we know that's going on. Of course, Dale just kind of said the exact same thing, except adding on that they'll come into the Senate is something that has gone on for some time, and maybe we're at a breaking point, a breakwater point, we'll call it. Now, want to touch on something that you referenced a couple of moments ago downstate. This is something that I've been watching for a long time, and that is the Hardin County Work Camp. We'd always thought, and there had been many pushes, to reopen it as a prison, but the idea now starting to form and move of selling it to Hardin County as a county jail?
The proposal is, and I really want to compliment Sheriff Fricker and the Hardin County commissioners for really working hard on this, and we've met several times in the last few months on this, the plan is to repurpose the Hardin County Work Camp, Tom, and sell it. The Department of Corrections will sell it to the County of Hardin, and their plan is to actually open up a tri-county jail. And Gallatin and Pope are extremely excited about this project as well, and they're fully on board. So, and again, Tom, this is, I think we're going to be able to get this done in veto. I spoke with President John Cullerton over the weekend, and he asked me, he said, Senator, I said, what's the urgency here? Why do you want to get this done through veto? Because it does require legislative action. I said, Senator, I said, it's the fact that they're ready. These Hardin County and everyone in Southern Illinois is ready to get this repurposed. They're ready to start the retrofitting and get in there and get this work done. You know, if we can get it done in veto session, that gives them a 2 to 3 month head start on getting this repurposed and getting this off and running. So I really want to say thank you to Senate President John Cullerton, because he said, okay, Senator, good enough. So I think I'm going to be reading it on the plan is I'll be reading the legislation on the Senate floor today, and then hopefully Wednesday or Thursday it will come to vote in the Senate, and I feel very, very comfortable that it will pass, and then Representative Natalie Phelps Finney will carry it into the House for vote, so we can get this off and running and get this repurposed. And this is going to be, I mean, we're talking about 30 new jobs here, Tom, and they're going to be really good jobs. So it's exciting to get that out from underneath the Department of Corrections and get it repurposed and get this facility opened back up and create revenues for those counties.
How much? I'm selling it for how much?
$1.
Okay. I think that's important that we know.
Yeah, good point. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, it's not doing us any good. And that's the way the
Well, it's fallen down.
Written. We want to get it. We want to get it in hands. We want to get it open. We want to create jobs. We want to create revenue, and that's just and the ancillary jobs that will our revenues that will come from it as well. Tom, you know, with the hardware stores, and you know how it works. The spinoff from all this is going to be really, really exciting.
Well,
so,
I'm
excited to be able to present this legislation.
I'm hanging out with the Polk County Sheriff, and this has been a while back, and he says, "Well, I've got to head to Saline County. I've got to take somebody to the jail."
Right.
And it's right, so he could go to Hardin County. That's closer. Hardin County wouldn't have to go to take someone somewhere else. But there's a finite number, the pie, and that is using these central locations to jail people that maybe for counties who don't have the resources to have a more secure facility. Officers spend a lot of time driving gasoline, and that time when you already have limited personnel means one of their guys on duty is 60 miles away, 50 miles away, or whatever. A little less than that, really. But that means if they're staying down in Polk, or in Hardin, more accurately, that means they're not staying in the new Saline County facility. I mean, there's a pie there, and that would be a redistribution, I think, to some extent. I don't know how profound it is. It's just an observation.
No, you're exactly right, Tom. And they're going to take baby steps here. So this is going to be we have a strong business plan. Southeastern Illinois College Small Business Development Center has helped come up with a business plan for them, moving forward. And it's going to be, and they're not going to need the whole facility, so they're just going to need parts of it for right now. But they have a great plan together, and they're going to kind of take baby steps, and they're going to do it right. And that's been the one thing we've talked a lot about, because we don't want this to be a burden on the county, and it's not going to be, because they're going to start being able to generate revenues pretty much, as soon as they get the doors open, Tom, and then as they continue to generate revenues, they'll be able to bring in more staff, and that's going to be the plan, is be able to, as revenues come in, then they'll be able to hire more people and create more opportunity.
One of our listeners just messaged me a couple of moments ago and heard you and I talking about, the red state, blue state, the definition, the defining downstate is increasingly red, and not much room for blue. And it was interesting because their comment, and I thought it was interesting, I wanted to share it with you. He says, I think Southern Illinoisans are voting their values en masse. Life, guns, traditional ideas on gender and sexuality. I also think the Republican Party is doing a decent job, at least on a local campaign level, of connecting local Democrats to the national platform, which rejects these values.
That's good. That's a good point. That's great. It's a great statement, Tom.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. I couldn't be more thrilled. I've been sent to do this job to, you know, represent my district. This is not my career. And you know, you've known me a long time, and especially when I was the mayor of Harrisburg, I love economic development. I love engaging with everyone. I'm a bipartisan guy. I always have been. I try to you know, bring in everyone that I possibly can. And we have so much going on, and I think people are noticing that. The people are noticing, you know, how hard we're out there working, and you know, when we talk about Hardin County, and we talk about Cairo, and we talk about Sahara Woods, and we talk about, you know, Walker's Bluff, and we talk about Wren Lake. I mean, we're on the brink. I'm excited about 2019. We're on the brink of really making some great things going, and I'm excited the fact that Governor-elect Pritzker, you know, with his transition team, he's got Jim Edgar on his transition team, and he's just recently appointed our former Senate Republican leader Christine Redonio to the Budget Committee. She and I talked numerous times over the weekend. She said, "Senator, I'm here to help you on this project." So I'm really encouraged. You know, I really am. Of course, that's the way I roll anyway, Tom.
Right.
But you know, I think people are seeing the passion that's being going into Southern Illinois and create opportunity and serve each other, and that's part of the job that I truly enjoy here.
Well, the earth needs a couple of terminal optimists, you know, so that's good. Before I let you go,
I mean, I don't want to paint totally rosy picture, Tom, because we have our challenges.
Right,
we have to continue to get our property taxes down. We're for fully funding education for the first time in this last budget, the FY19 budget, and plus gave education an additional $350 million, which I was a strong proponent of and in support of that, so we can take some pressure off our school districts and hopefully be able to keep that trend going and for the FY20 budget, maybe even more, and maybe give some property tax relief because we know how much of our property taxes go to our schools. So, you know, and so That's the trend we're on, and we still have to continue working on some workers' comp reforms, which we are. So, but we still have those challenges. But by the same token, I think the opportunities outweigh the challenges.
All right. Now, let's speak of opportunities. You brushed up against this a couple of moments ago. And what happens, I talked to J.D. Tanner, Touch of Nature, last week, and he infected me with a little optimism of his own of what it meant economically when he grows an off-road bicycle, mountain biking trail on the woods. They want to create 70 miles of trails, right? And they've recently got this IDNR grant. No, that was a federal grant. I'm sorry that they helped them with that. And you've got similar plans that you're working on when it comes to the Sahara Woods, when taking advantage of this new trend, and that's off-road vehicles.
Absolutely, and I worked closely with Touch of Nature and JD. We met several times, and it was a pass-through grant throughout with a federal grant through IDNR. I'm excited. I was glad to be a voice for that and really lobby to get this passed. But the Sahara Woods, I was actually on a conference call early this morning with the Department of Natural Resources. They were giving me an update on Sahara Woods. The trails are actually 95% roughed in right now, and it's going to be 27 miles of off-highway vehicle trails. And actually, it's actually going to be 54 because the way it's being designed is they're going to be able to go both ways. It's not going to just be a one-way trail. So they're converting it into 54 miles. And then something that I ask IDNR to do, and they're doing this, is they're making a youth trail, sort of a bunny-type trail, so to speak, Tom, where young kids will be able to, there'll be a mile or two of really soft trails for the young kids to be able to enjoy it as well. So the plan is to have this up and going by late spring of 19 or early summer. So IDNR is there every day working on this trail. So when you have opportunities such as the Touch of Nature for the bike trails and off-highway vehicle expansions throughout Southern Illinois, these people that come in, they want opportunities. They want multiple opportunities to be able to go back and forth to different venues and different areas and parks. So, you know, this is the, you know, especially going back to Touch of Nature, Tom. You know, this mountain biking is a huge thing throughout the United States, and you know, with all the terrain that we have in Southern Illinois, and the people that just go out in the hills and find their own trails, and to be able to go to Touch of Nature and have this incredible, beautiful trails and opportunities, and you're going to see people coming in from all over the Midwest and who knows how far, Tom. So, right. And as you all know, you know, I'm a big tourism guy. I have my Southern Illinois Tourism Treasures video series on my website, and we're going to be talking about that again while I'm up here and pushing out Southern Illinois Tourism Treasures. So, you know, tourism's something that we need to continue to try to capitalize on.